Okay, we're up to Paraglama Beis. We're in the middle. We are in the middle of Pasuk Chaf Gimel. We already did the Mitzvahs and the Rashi. Let's read the Pasuk again, then we'll do the Radak, and we'll go further. Asher Nidnu Kiv Roisecha Biarkasei Bar Vahi Kehola Svivois Kivurasa. Their graves are positioned in the depth of the pit, which means that their grave is deep, deep down. The grave of the Egyptians and the grave of Ashur are not going to be, they're not going to be buried in shallow graves. Their grave will be positioned deep, deep within the earth, as we explained in Rashi and the Mitzudas, because when there is a war, there's not enough time to bury each person individually. They're all buried in one mass grave. And when a nation is buried in a mass grave, the custom is to dig it very, very deep to accommodate all of the dead bodies. So this expression, Yarkasei Bar, indicates that they're going to die from battle. Vayhi kehala svivos kivurasa. There's going to be an assembly surrounding kivurasa. The large assembly will surround kivurasa, which is an expression. Okay, we did the mitzvahs yesterday. I don't even remember how we translated this. The mitzvahs said what it means, pasuk of gimel. Return Allah Ma'alochain Ya Kol Kahola in the Mitsudos Lochain Kol Kahola Svivas Kivura Social Mitzrayim. Okay, all of Ashur will surround Kahola. The Kahola here is the Kahola of Ashur. It will surround the assembly of Egypt. The Egyptian grave pit will be in the middle, and the pit that will hold the dead bodies of Ashur will surround it. Kulam chalalim neiflim b'cheref. Every single person in this grave will have been killed by the sword. And the reason why they are suffering this fate is because Asher nosnu chitis, these two nations, Egypt and specifically here Ashur, they have levied a terror in the land of the living. And that refers, as Mitzudas Rashi said, is when they exiled the Aseres Hashvatim as a punishment for causing terror in the land of the living. That's why they are deserving of this fate. Anyone that causes harm to the Jewish people has a special place in Hashem's heart and mind and will suffer a very special punishment. Egypt, Ashur, and you can talk about all the nations in the last 1,000 years that have actively sought out to cause pain to the Jewish people. They have a special place in Hashem's heart and mind, and they will receive extra special punishment. Let's see the Radak Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Asher nitnu kivroisecha biyarkasei bar lefish omar svivoisav kivroisav omar v'ono nitnu kivroisecha aladas ashur. Where will their graves? It says here that the graves will surround the Egyptian graves. Where exactly will their graves be positioned? Biyarkasei var. This is an exaggeration. This is an expression to describe that they're going to be destroyed forever. So if you notice that the Radak is saying in a different idea than the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says the reason why it says Yarkasei Bar is an indication that they will die in battle. Because when people die in battle, they are typically buried in a deep grave in contrast to a shallow grave. That's not what the Radak says. The Radak explains this is more of a figurative expression, a metaphor, describing they will be removed from the world entirely. There will be no trace of their existence. When you open up the history books, you won't even find, they won't even be mentioned. It'll be as if they never ever existed on the face of this earth. So we say in the very, very deep section of the pit, a very, very deep pit, it's an expression meaning is as if they never existed on this world. That's a different type of idea. Okay, the next words of the Radak are, V'chalahi ka'olam svivois kivura saw. Kehal Eretz Mitzrayim Svivos Kivros Adas Eretz Asher. So here he learns that this is not the Mitzudos. He learns here that the Kahala is the Kehal Eretz Mitzrayim Svivos Kivros Adas Eretz Asher. So that's the complete opposite of the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says is that the center is Egypt and the Sviva is Ashur. Radak says the opposite, that the center is Ashur, and the Sviva, Kahal Adas Eretz Mitzrayim, Sviva, they're the ones that are going to surround Kivros Adas Eretz Ashur. Uve Amrei Sviva is Einoi Omer She does not mean She Yikavru B'Mokim Shnikbu Heim, Ela She Yiplu B'Achedev K'mohem. All it means is they're going to die. It doesn't mean they're going to be physically buried in the same exact location. It means they're going to die also. It means they're going to die. They're going to die. Mishpat Echolohem, they're going to suffer the same fate. Ki Elohim biyachad v'kulam yiplu v'achedet v'oldar v'aysur oysam asher nesnu udoz asher didu chidus v'eretz chayim shenosnu mayram v'chitisam b'vnei adam b'oidim chayim. The people that went and instilled their fear b'vnei adam b'oidim chayim v'luch omar b'eretz chayim l'fi shahim ata b'eretz meisim, since now they're dead. So therefore we're describing, the reason why we're using the expression b'eretz chayim is since these individuals are currently dead. That's what the Pasuk says. So when we want to say the reason why they suffered their fate is because of the sins they've done to the people of the living. And the living here refers specifically to those of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Dalet. Who else will die in battle at this time of Yemos HaMashiach in the Milchemes Gog u'Magog? So far we only listed two nations. We list the nation of Mitzrayim and the nation of Ashur. Now we come to more nations. Shom Elam. Elam is really Yavon, right? Paras Umodai. The capital. The capital of Paras was Elam. So here we're going to another nation. Shom Elam. V'chol ha-moyna. Svivos kivurasa. Same idea that the entire multitude will surround her grave. The grave over here is seemingly the grave of Egypt. Kulam chalolim. Hanefim machedef. Asher Yardu Arelim. Now here notice, we're calling these people Arelim. In the previous Pasuk, Pasuk Chav Gimel, it did not say, we did not call the people that we are describing, which simply refers to the nation of Ashur, as Arelim. We just said, Kul Asher Nidnu Kivrei Sechos, B'yarkas Ebar, V'yik Kehola, Kehola, Svivos Kivrei, So Kulam Chalolim, Noiflim Bachedef. It didn't say the Arelim, Noiflim. Here we have over here an additional word, Kulam Chalolim, all of these people have been killed by the sword. Hanoiflim Bachedef, Asher Yordu Arelim, the uncircumcised have fallen, El Eretz Tachtiyoist, the lower land. Why? Asher Nosnu Chitisam, they have instilled their terror, the Eretz Chayim, Vayisu Chalimosam, and they will bear their shame, El Yordevar, as Yordevar, with those, S over here means like Im, with those who have descended into the pit. Let's see first, it's a very long pasuk. Let's first see the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Shom Elam. Bimkoim HaMulchama Ahi Yipol Gam Elam V'chol HaMoin Amo. In addition to Egypt, in addition to Ashur, the nation of Elam will be destroyed. Sevivos Kivurasa. Sevivos Kivuras Mitzrayim. Here the Mitzudos David is Leshitoso. The center of attention is Egypt, and everyone else that dies will be subordinate, will be secondary. So the Seviva here refers in this pasuk to Elam. Seviva is Kivuras Mitzrayim, Iya Kivuros Elam. Kulam Chalolim, all of them are going to be killed by the Zekol Meisem, Yu Chalolim Hanoiflim Becherev. V'yimkein Yikavu Rabim Bekever Echad, same idea, they're going to all have to be buried in one mass grave. V'yismuchim L'kivros Mitzrayim, he seems to say that it's a physical proximity. Not like the Radak that says they're all going to suffer the same fate, and it does not mean they're all going to be buried in the same land. He seems to say the Mitzudos is going to be one big cemetery at the time of Muhammad Skoy Gumagog. Mass graves, a mass grave for Egypt, a mass grave for Ashur, a mass grave for Elam. Okay, how you? We're learning from all the big secrets. What's going to happen? This is really spooky stuff. Asher, nasnu b'zei yifarish b'mahayu arle. Asher yardu return lema al ki yardu el eretz tachtis k'shehem arle leiv. They're going to go down into the grave when they are in a state of being uncircumcised of heart. So notice that the mitzudos understands the word arele not in reference to the bris milah. This refers to they are corrupt, their hearts are uncircumcised, they refuse to accept Hashem's the recognition of Hashem, and this means they will not do teshuvah before they die. Now, that's what's interesting about this is that you contrast this to the previous pasuk, pasuk of Gimel, where we discuss in detail the nation of Ashur, and it does not say the word Arelim. It indicates that they did do teshuvah before they died. If you want to make this contrast, if here he's saying that they go down to the grave in a state of being Arelim, Arelelev, and Asher does not have that word, that indicates that the people of Asher, indeed, they did do teshuvah, or at least they did come to some degree of recognition of the Ribbono Shel Olam when, right the moment before they died. Now, what's interesting about that is because if we go back to the original Asher, okay, not, this is the Asher of times of Moshe Mashiach, they're going to die, which we don't even know who they are, but what happened to the people, the army of Ashur, when they perished, when they laid siege to Yerushalayim on the night of Pesach? And according to Chazal, there was at least 800,000 soldiers. Some say there were multiples of 800,000. There were many millions of soldiers that surrounded Yerushalayim. How did they die? So there's a very well-known medrash that Hashem opened up the heavens and he allowed them to hear the Shira of the Malachim. Are you familiar with this? Hashem opened the heavens, it was a night of Pesach, and the Malachim were singing Shira to Hashem, and these soldiers heard the Shira, and that caused them to die. Now what does that mean exactly? We have no idea what that means. Why hearing the Shira of the Malachim caused the person to die? But in any event, you do take away that there was a spiritual type of death.
Are they the dry bones?
No, the dry bones are the people. No, they're not. Ashur? No. The Jews. Okay. The dry bones are Jews. I think they were B'nai Ephraim. Okay. Some say the people, the descendants of Shevet Ephraim, who left Egypt prematurely, 30 years prematurely. Okay, there are many interpretations. We'll come to that later on. But anyone over here, what do you learn from this medrash? Is that the death of these 800,000 soldiers, or whoever, these soldiers who died, it was a spiritual form of death. They heard the Shira of the Malachim. If they were hearing the Shira of the Malachim, that has to mean that they came to some degree of acknowledgement that there is a Creator, there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore, why do they merit that? I don't know. Maybe they merited hearing the Shilik. We discussed this many times. Is it Ashur? We have Ksav Ashuris. The Sifrei Torah is written Ksav Ashuris, and Ashur has special merits because their forefather did not participate in the Dor Haflaga, when the entire nation came together to rebel against Hashem by building the Migdal Bavel. They separated and they said, this is not the right thing to do. You don't rebel against Hashem. So you see from the very, very beginning, the root of the nation, there is a degree of spirituality. They turned sour by trying to destroy Klal Yisrael, by exiling the Aseres HaShvatim, by causing terror, Be'eretz Chayim, and they all died. But Hashem does not deny from any living creature the reward that they deserve. So since we do learn, we do acknowledge that they do possess a spark of spirituality, their death is not described here with the word Arelim as it is described in reference to the nation of Elam. And especially according to the Mitzudot Stavit that says the word Arelim means Arelelev. They did not. They were not uncircumcised of heart. This. It says something. Okay, but the Elam, they did die in a state of Arelelev, which means, as it says over here, this is good morning. It says v'leshavu kaidem shenergu. They did not do teshuv before they perished. Okay, but next. Yeah. The underworld is Gehenna. I mean, we said death. We said that many times.
You used the term.
What?
You said the term underworld.
What is that? I don't know. What is that word? What does that word mean?
Well, it's original.
Gehenna. Okay, Rashi said Gehenna. Rashi said Shach Hashol. I mean, in English, the word underworld in English means it means
you know, the criminal world, but that's derived from the fact that what happens to them
at the end. So the underworld is another it's a synonym for the Sheol, Gehenim, whatever, all the different things that happen to the neshama after death, the wicked. Okay, let's go for the next words. The next words. Okay, the next words in the Mitzvah Sa'ashar Nosnu, Bezeyifarish, Bamo Hoyu Areli Lev, Umahir Shiu. And here, this pasuk is explaining what exactly was their sin. Why are they called Areli Lev? The Al-Ashar Nosnu, Shever Umechita, they instilled a Shever, a breaking, Umechita, and terror, the Eretz Chayim, in the land of the living, which means Eretz Yisrael. So the Mitzvah says, Ki gam elam bo le'ezra le'duvucha netzar lo'tzul al Yerushalayim. He's giving us some historical account. And that Elam, they were the mercenaries of Nebuchadnezzar when he destroyed Yerushalayim. K'mo she'ne'emar, ve'elam nosa ashpa, Elam will bear their ashpa, their shame. Now that's interesting because we're referring over here to the time of Yemos HaMashiach and it's payday, so why wouldn't you just simply say Elam is going to be destroyed because they are the Golos of Paras Umodai. Paras Umodai, one of the Dalid Malchios, which has inflicted great pain upon the Jewish people, especially during the time of the poor miracle. Lahashmid, Laharog, La'abid, Eskola, Yehudim, Minar, V'Yadzokin, Tafin, Noshim, B'Yom Echad. And that's not just Modai. Okay, there's a partnership. There's a partnership with the father-in-law and the son-in-law. Koresh was the father-in-law. He was 62 years old when, and at the same time that his son-in-law, Daryovesh, was 20 years old. There was a redak that told us the exact dates. Maybe I'm making a mistake. But anyway, it was a partnership. So if Elam is the capital of Paras, and Elam is all partners with Paras Umodai, so they are the ones who prevented Klal Yisrael from rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, even though Koresh originally gave permission that it can be rebuilt. Ultimately, Achashverosh, he went and he stopped, he halted the Binyan, and they made for the Jews' life very difficult, to the point where it was Lahashmid Laharagul Abedis Kolayu Deminar V'Yad Zakin Taf Nosh B'Yom Echad. So it's not so simple. Yet look what it says over here, that when we're referring to their punishment, we're not focusing on that period of time, the Mitzudos, but it's very simply the punishment that will come to this nation of Elam at the time of Moshiach will be as a punishment for participating in the Churban Beis HaMikdash as they assisted in the Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, the next words are Yisu Lochen Yisu Gam Hema Es Hakelima. They will bear the shame. Haru Yolochem Lios Nevadim Becherev. They will die by sword. Imshar Yoreg Devar Shnafel Becherev. They will die by sword with all of those other people. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasichah Dalid. There is no Rashi. Let's see the Radak. Sham Elam V'chol Hamoina Svivois Kivurasa. Hamoin Elam Yu Svivois Kivurasa. So here Elam. Here, the Radak is changing from what he said before. He's saying that when it says Svivos Kivurasa, he's interpreting this reference to the subject of the Pasuk. Not like what he did in the previous Pasuk. That's very interesting. And that is Elam, they are the ones who will occupy the Sviva, the surrounding area. And the center will be, I guess what we said before in the previous Pasukim, Ashur and Mitzrayim. Hamoin Elam, Yiyu Svivos Kivurasa, will be around her grave, and who is the Kvurasa? Ukvurasa Omar Aladas Hasorim Vahagibarim. So he says the center is the Sorin and the Gibarim of Elam, they're in the center, and the Hamoin, the multitude of people, the common man, or the regular soldiers, they will be along the perimeter. So again, just notice over here that he's taking these words of who is the Seviva. And who is the center? The word Sviva has a connotation that there is a center. Who is the center of attention? And who is the perimeter? So the way he's explaining it over here is different than the way he explained it in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Here he's saying the Sviva are the Hamoin Am, and the center is the Giborim and the Sarep. Next words of the Radak, Asha Yodu Arelim, Shemesu Birisham. he learns the same expression. Arelim is just a metaphor for wicked. Vayisu kelim, they will bear in the grave their shame. Kiyu nichlamim migdulasam shahoyselcham. They're going to be ashamed of the greatness that once upon a time they had, and now they have lost. Viata yiplu b'cher biyad ayveim v'yanusam tigem v'kabilu iskino uson. They will accept their humility, their subjugation, their good morning, their downfall. The fact that they're going to be subjugated amongst other nations. Okay, now yesterday I told you, I just started, I didn't even really do, but over here, there's a parish on my edition called the Mincha Gedoila, and he has a very long elaboration, and he keeps on talking about the Neitzrim, and he has all different names of different countries, and what he seems to be doing is, okay, what? England, in Garia, Polania, Ubohima, okay, Ubohima, Verusia, Vigam Anshe in Gal Tira, Vishakutsia, Hushakutsia,
Britain,
yeah. And Vishikutsia, who's that? Vishikutsia. All right, whatever it is. But basically, it's Italia, Tsarfas, that's France, Sfarad, Spain. Okay, he goes through a lot of different things over here, a lot of stuff. But basically, what I'm trying to extract from him, even though I didn't go through it, unfortunately, did not have that all that lazy. I was lazy, I shouldn't say I have time, just lazy. But I think what he's trying to allude to, this contrast, is Pasuk of Gimel Pasuk of Dalit, that why it's almost the same expression. Chav Gimel is missing the word Arelim. Chav Dalid, the word Arelim, Asher Yardu Arelim Eleretz Tachtis. And he seems to be trying to say, if he's not saying this, maybe we can say this, the Drush is that, who is Ashur? Who is Ashur in the time of Mashiach? Who is Elam in the time of Mashiach? What do we call Elam today? Call Elam, take Iran? Is that what you call Elam?
It certainly is located.
Okay, so who is Asher and who is Elam? So he seems to be saying is Elam is the Western civilization, the Western culture. Those who have embraced the ideology of Esav to some degree. And who are the Arelim, I'm sorry, the other way around. Doesn't make sense though. Arelim is Western culture. It's Western, why? Quraysh. I don't know. He's saying the fact that there are Arelim, in one pasuk we mention the Arelim, and the other pasuk we omit the Arelim, and these two nations are part of a war which to some degree appears they're fighting each other, is relevant, is very something which we can appreciate today, is the clash between Western culture versus Islam. Islam, they're supposed to have bris milah. I don't know if they have bris milah, but in Islam, they're supposed to have bris milah. What? They do when they're 13 years old?
Yeah.
When they're 13 years old, they all go on to do surgery to have bris milah?
No surgery, they're not just for boys.
Okay, so they are the ones who are not, so he doesn't take the word Arelim like the Mitzudas to mean the Arele lave. They're uncircumcised of how we're talking about a physical foreskin. Esav is not interested in bris milah. In fact, Esav never had a bris milah. Esav was born with a reddish complexion, and the doctors said you can't do a bris milah. He's a homophilia.
Hemophiliac.
He'll bleed out. His blood is hemophilic. He'll bleed out. You can't do it. So they didn't do bris milah. And then as he got older, and they realized he was not a hemophiliac, he was okay. He could have bris milah. He told us for as far as new Esav. My Zun, when are you going to have the bris milah? And he said, Tata, I want to have the proper kavanis. I want to be mechin. Hachon, I have to go to mikvah. I have to go and learn zohar and finish shas. So let me first finish shas 50 times, learn all the zohars, and I have the right kavanis. Give me another year. And ultimately, he never had bris milah. He fooled his father. So his descendants follow in that fashion. Like we all know in the Holocaust, Rachman al-Islam, the way to right away to find, to see if a person was a Jew, was he looked if he had a bris milah. Well, that was the easiest thing. The Germans don't have a bris milah. This person is masquerading as a guy. He makes this in order to save himself. He just looked. If he had a bris milah, if he had a bris milah, he killed him on the spot.
That's also Amalek.
Amalek.
Descendant
of Esau. Eliphaz. Esau. They reject the bris milah. But Yishmael accepts bris milah. And these we find today in modern times, and this goes back from 1096, the First Crusade, 1094. It goes even really back to 1070. You know, the First Crusade, the roots of the Crusade of the 1096. I forgot all this stuff. I used to know this stuff very well because I used to have to give a share on this. The Battle of anyone know this? Battle of Manzikert. You can look it up even right now on your smartphones. The Battle of Manzikert. There was a battle that took place in the year 1071. I think it was 1071. That battle was the opening, the Pesach, which opened up the minds of the church and the whole Christian society. Maybe we should go. 1071. And what does
August
it say?
26,
1071. What happened in that battle? What does it say? Wikipedia? What does it say about that battle?
What's the name of the battle? Battle of Manzikert. It was fought between the Byzantine Empire and the Seljuk Empire on August 27, near Manzikert. The decisive defeat of the Byzantine army and the capture of Emperor Romanus IV, Diogenes, played an important role in undermining Byzantine authority in Anatolia and Armenia.
Okay. Anatolia is Turkey.
Right.
So this is
allowed for the gradual Turkification of Anatolia. Many of the Turks who have been during the 11th century traveling westward saw the victory at Manzikert as an entrance to Asia.
So this was the first time the Muslims, the Turkish Muslims, flexed their muscles and actually conquered in a violent way a region, a city that was thus far under the control of the Christians. And this got the blood of the Christians bubbling.
Constantine started.
The Byzantine. Right. So this battle was the first battle where the Turks really aroused the wrath of the Christians. And that bubbled until 1095, and then when they started preparing for the First Crusade, and when they actually went out in 1096. And why do I say that? Because it's very shocking. Think about it. If that's really the beginning of the First Crusade, so that is exactly 1,000 years since the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And we don't really know, there's a machlokes of when the Churban was. We accept it to be in the year 70. Some say 71, but some say it was 66. 68, there's a lot of questions. But I think the most common, you look in the art scroll, the most common mahalach is in the year 70. Year 70. So the year 70, so isn't that very interesting that exactly 1,000 years later is when it started, the roots of the crusade started. And like we said yesterday, the crusades is something which goes on ad hayom hazeh. Ad hayom hazeh, there is a clash between Western civilization, the values of Western society, and Islam, and the values of the Muslims, those who have embraced this ideology. There is a clash. Terrorism is all about this. Why do they hate us? What's going on? This clash goes on ad hayom hazeh. It's not like the First Crusade, where they're riding on horses and been holding up big flags and all these strange things. Terrorism, but terrorism really is just an extension of this milchama between Esav and Yishmael. And we're caught in the crossfire. We're caught somewhere in the middle. So 1,000 years. I mean, why? So what's the signal of 1,000 years? I don't know, but 1,000 years is a nice round number. And what do we say? What does it say in davening? That elef shonim be'enecha kiyoyim esmol. Kiyoyim esmol. Kadosh Baruch Hu acknowledges. So some of the first I want to say is that there's a frustration. Kadosh Baruch Hu, why didn't we bring Mashiach? 1,000 years have passed since the Churban Beis HaMikdash. How could it be that we have not yet succeeded in restoring the Beis HaMikdash? The Hashem was upset. And because he was upset, somehow the Esav and Yishmael, they're Sodom and Shemayim. You don't want to bring Mashiach. You don't want to take back what's yours. So we'll take it for ourselves. We'll take Eretz Yisrael for ourselves. And then began the clash between Esav and Yishmael. They felt that they're going to become the Yorshim because we have delayed in taking what's rightfully ours after 1,000 years. This is the Machshav, this is the idea. But over here in this Pesukim, we have over here these two different nations which are going down into the grave. One is called the Arelim, the other is not called the Arelim. And the Minchas Simcha Gadol seems to say is, one represents Yishmael, who are not the Arelim. That's what we're really calling Ashur. Ashur somehow, I don't know why that should be the case, but Ashur somehow, they represent Yishmael. They're his representatives, the Shluchim. And Pasuk Chavdal, no, doesn't the Chavdal Chavdal, Elam refers to Western civilization, Esav. And they're battling it out. They are called the Arelim, and Yishmael is not called the Arelim. And that's just a civil translation. And you have over here, what is their punishment? Nosnu chitim be'eretz chayim. In their battle of killing each other for world dominance, what have they done? They have terrorized the land of the living. What's the land of the living? Well, they terrorized those who lived in Eretz Yisrael. They basically killed everyone. Every Jew who lived in Eretz Yisrael was brutally murdered. Eretz Yisrael, but that wasn't the main casualties. It was the people who lived in Germany. Okay, the first crusade, and then later the second crusade. The later crusades affected France. France was affected by the later crusades. Yeah.
Eretz Chaim is also a term for cemetery.
That's a modern convention. That's a modern. That's a new thing that was invented in recent times. I don't think you have a.
How did they get it?
What? No, it's a euphemism. It's a euphemism.
Yeah,
Eretz Achaim. You go to the Beis Achaim. You go to your Beis Achaim. It's a euphemism for the cemetery. Okay, but this is something which is a very interesting thought to read into these pesukim. Let's go to Pasuk Kafhei, Besoch Chalolim, Nasnu Mishkav La. Okay, amongst the dead, Nasnu Mishkav La, their bed, meaning their bed of their mita of death, Bechol Hamoina Sivivoisav, Kivroiseha, amongst all of the multitudes surrounding her are her graves. Kulam arelim, they're all arelim. Chal lechedev, they're all uncircumcised. They're all victims of the sword. Ki nitan chitasam eretz chayim, they have instilled their terror in living. Vayisu kilim asam el yordevar, they will bear their shame with those who have descended into the pit. B'soch chalalim nitan, they'll be put together in the grave with those that have been killed by the sword. This pasuk chafhei is very strange, because it says almost exactly the same thing that it says in Pasuk Chaf Daleth. So what here is the difference? The only difference over here is it doesn't say the nation Elam. It just says, B'soch Chalolim. These are very mysterious psukim, which, being that we're referring to the times of Mashiach, I don't think it's possible really for us to know what these psukim mean until Mashiach comes. Only then in hindsight will you be able to look back and you say, well, it's obvious what it means. Obvious. I mean, there are the whole series over here. But Pasuk Chav Dal and Chav Hey, if you were an editor working for Art Scroll, you would say, I think this pasuk is a little bit two psukim in the row. I mean, let's look at the two psukim in the row. They come out word for word. Only Chav Dal does not mention Elam Shon Elam V'Chol Hamayna. And then, but here it says B'soch Chalolim. Everything else is the same. I mean, so what's going on over here? Beats me. Yeah.
I know this, that Elam and Ashur are both B'nai Shem, right? And both Esav and Yishmael come from Abraham. So I guess that's how they
also come from Shem.
So it's not from outside the family, so to speak. They're both inside the family.
Let's see the mitzvot. Pasuk Chaf Hey. That they, amongst all the dead, they will be similar. Their bed, their mishkav, will be put, positioned, will be doimelohem b'masha haya kol hamayna sevivoisav shal mitzrayim. In this, that the hamayna, the multi was sevivoisav shal mitzrayim b'kivor. So here we're going back according to the mitzudos. We are returning to the theme of Egypt. Kikol horoshoyim hohem yiyu chalechev. All of these wicked people, they're going to be killed by the sword. Verabim yikavu bekevarechon. He's saying the same thing they said before. V'yikulam mesumuchim lekivos mitzvah. They're all going to be surrounding. All of these dead bodies are going to be buried in the vicinity of Egypt. Kinitan al kinitan shivram bi'eretz chayim. The reason why they're going to be punished is because they have instilled their shever in the land of living. Lochein yisu haklima haruya lohem im shor yodivar. Each one of them was put amongst the dead, bechafira amuka, in a very deep grave. Urchava, the chaval hadavar chader chamalitza. He acknowledges here there is repetition, and that's the way malitza. When you express your thoughts, at times you repeat yourself, and that's what Yechezkel is doing. Rashi, Pasuk Chaf Hei, Nasnu Mishkav La Le'elam. This Pasuk is describing Elam. Elam's dead. They mean they're coffin. Their coffin will be positioned surrounding the coffins, the burial spaces of Mitzrayim and Ashur, like we said before. Radak, they will lie in their grave together with the other chalolim. Everything is self-understood. Really? Radak says this is self-understood. Okay, it's not self-understood to me. Chalei chenev kulam asher b'parsha ha-chatufim ein marech b'ches. All of the chalei, the achat of patach, he says. I guess all of the patachs in this parsha, chatufim ve'ein marich beches. But that's if you look at the word chalolim, there is a chat of patach. Okay, that's how it's supposed to be. And this week I learned this parsha, and I got into a lot of trouble. I learned the word achat of patach. They all screamed at me. What was the word? The word is. What is the word? Oh, right, Musky is not here. How could I forget the word already? I'll tell you another word. Same thing is, I also got into trouble with this word, is Ushikali Bini. Ushikali Bini. Kiss me. The Birchos Yaakov. The Birchos Yaakov. Yitzchok says to Yaakov, come close to me and kiss me. So what is the proper vowel under the shin? So if you look in the Chumashim, so some Chumashim have a chat of patach, and some Chumashim have a shva. Ushikali bini, kiss me, ushika, or is it ushakali bini, a patach, ushakali bini. The only problem is the patach is not a regular patach. It's not usha kol ibini. It's a chataf patach, which means there are two little dots next to the patach, like here what the Radak is telling you in the word chalolim. What is it? Whenever you have a chata, two dots before the patach, it means don't dwell on the patach. Swallow up the patach. Say it very quickly. So don't say usha kali bini. That's 100% wrong. Say it very quickly. Usha kali bini. What happens when you say a patach very quickly? It sounds almost identical to a shva. So a chat of patach and a shva are almost the same, but they're not almost the same. And most people like me cannot do it right. So when you can't do it right, you're supposed to just say a regular chataf. That's what you're supposed to do. Regular patach. That's what you, if you can't do it right, so you're safer doing a regular patach than you are doing a shva. So if your chumash says ushika, there's a shva, ushika, so it's a shva, ushika. If your chumash says a chataf patach and you can't do a chataf patach, so what are you going to do? You're going to say ushakali bini. And the people who are sitting in shul who have a regular chumash that says ushakali bini, they're going to correct you. You've made a mistake. So Rabbi Mayevsky told me, it's very interesting, is that how do you say the name Aaron? So most of us say Aaron. we don't really pronounce the hey. Why don't you pronounce the hey? I don't know. The hey, and every time it says in the Torah the word Aaron, is a chataf patach, which means you're supposed to, a chataf patach is very similar to a shva. Now, if they were, let's say make believe there was a shva under the hay, how would you say Aaron? Ah, it would be a shvanach. Aaron. You basically would pretty much not pronounce the hay. So if Moshe Feinstein, when he heard someone laying, and they would say Aaron, and they would basically pronounce the hay as a regular shva, a shvanach, where the hay would not be pronounced at all, he would stop them. Or later he would speak to them. He told me this. If he was here, he would be nodding right now, because he says, no, you have to say Aharon. And Rav Moshe says, if you can't do the Chat of Patach correctly, so better do a regular Patach and pronounce his name Aharon. Aharon. What?
Is there Sfardi amongst us to say heaven?
I don't know about the Sfarim. I don't know anything about the Sfarim, so I can't say. I can't comment. I don't know anything about. But among the Ashkenazim, a chat of patach is not the same. Not the same as a shva. A shva is they sound. If you do a chat of patach in a real way, it will sound almost like a shva, almost, but not entirely. And since the vast majority of people cannot pronounce the chat of patach the way it's supposed to be pronounced, so the poskim say, or Moshe says, you're safer, you're better off just pronouncing it as a regular patach. And that would mean the proper way to pronounce Aaron would be Aharon, which no one does, as far as I know. Maybe some people do, I don't know. And Ushakoli bini, this just came to my mind, I'm thinking a lot, because over here he says, Beso chalalim, the ches, he says, every time it says the word chalalim in the section, it's with a chat of patach, swallow up the chay, it's like chilolim almost. It's almost like chilolim, a chat of patach. But over here in my edition, I noticed the next word in this pasuk is chalalei cherev, the ches is regular patach. So I don't really know what mesorah, maybe the Radak had a different mesorah. He says all of the chalolim in the pasuk are chataf chatufim. They are chatufim, chat means to snatch. He saved very quickly. The ain marich b'ches. Okay, little grammar. Let's go now to the next. Let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk chavav. Sham there meshach. Now we go to more nations. Again, we're describing what's going to be doing Tarmel Muhammad Skog Magog. So we've mentioned Mitzrayim. We've mentioned Ashur. We've mentioned Elam. And now we got some more customers. Sham meshach. Whatever nation, I have no idea what these nations are. We call you know these nations are Meshach, Tuval. This is the Mizma you say in Pegimel. Mizma, you have all these nations there as well. Shom there, Meshach, Tuval, V'chol Hamayna. Same exact expression. Sivivoy Sav, Kivroy Seha. The graves of these nations will surround their center, which refers either to Egypt or the other nations or their Sarim. Kulam Arelim, all of these people that are going to be killed, they're all going to be Arelim, whether that means they're going to be physically uncircumcised or it means they're going to be Arele Lev, whatever it means. Mechun Lechere, they're all going to be killed by the sword. Ki Nasnu, why are they going to suffer this punishment? Ki Nasnu Chitisam, they have instilled their fear, be Eretz Chayim, they are guilty of causing pain to the land of the living, referring to Eretz Yisrael or to the people, the Jewish people. Pasach of Zayin. V'lo Yishkuvu, and this is a very interesting pasach, V'lo Yishkuvu es Giboyrim. They're not going to lie down es giboyrim together with the giboyrim. Now the giboyrim means those who have died, those who have died as a gibor, those who have died a natural death. Someone has died a natural death means he was a gibor, no one killed him. The fact that you survived and no one killed you, even though you went to war, means that you are a gibor. Neiflim me'arelim, They will fall into the grave in the state of being an orel, asher yardu sha'ol, who have gone into the grave b'chlei milcham tam, with the utensils of war. Okay, we're going to see what this means in a moment. Vayitnu eschar boitzam tachas rashayhem, they put their sword under their head, vati avoyna avoy noisam al atzmoisam, their sins will be upon their atzma, some their bones, or it means upon their person. Kichitis Gibarim bi Eretz Chayim. The Chitis of the Gibarim is the land of the living. This is a very complicated pasuk. I'm going to see in some shorter first time to the basic gist is that he refers over here, the parsha referred to a military funeral. Did you ever see a military funeral? It's a military funeral, you know, with all the, well, you see them probably on television online where they shoot guns and cannons, and the person is buried in a uniform. And he's also, we don't do this today, but they bury them with their weapons. They're also buried
with their medals.
They put the medals on, or they bury also even their weapons. They have special weapons, there's weapons. That's an indication that this was who they were. They were soldiers, and they were gibayrim, and they succeeded. So this is a very great honor to give to a soldier. And it says here concerning that these people, they're not going to receive their honor. Being that they have fallen in battle, it indicates they're weak. They're not gibayrim. They are not deserving of a Purple Heart.
That's the opposite of what we usually think. Usually, I think a person who dies in battle is brave.
He gave up his life for the cause. So here it's saying they're cowards. They didn't die in an act of bravery. They died in an act of being a coward. They fled from the battlefield and they died. That's what the pasuk is going to be trying to bring out, according to at least some of the mafarshim. It's a little bit complicated. I have two pasukim together. The pasuk Chavav Mitzudos. Chavav begins. Sham Meshach Tuval Bimkama Muhammadhi in this Milchemes Goygu Magoyk. We have a new player who will fall in battle. Two more nations. Yiblu Gam, the nation of Meshach Vituval. The Chol Hamayno Hamoin Kolachas Mehen, the multitudes of each nation. Sevivaisaf, Sevivais Kivris Mitzrayim Yeh Kivris Kolachas Mehen, their grave, their mass burial plot will be in the vicinity of the mass burial plot of the Egyptians. Just like we had before. Kulam Arelim, Kol Harishom Hohem Yuchalichel, of all of these wicked people, they're calling the Arelim means the wicked, they'll be killed by the sword. Ulchein Yikovu Rabin Bechafirachas, that's why it's going to be one mass grave. Viyu Kulam Smuchim Likibos Mitzrayim. Now, why? Bezei Yifaresh, Baki Nosnu, Bezei Yifaresh, Bamehershi, why are they deserving of this fate? It's because they're evil. V'yamar al sh'al asher nosnu shivram bi'eretz chayim ki gam hem yitochen sh'ozru l'hayev abo al Yisrael. They have assisted the enemy Nebuchadnezzar when he attacked. Oy or b'mei Asher, go back 200 years before the Churban, during the time of Asher, when he exiled the Aseres HaShvatim, these two nations, Meshech v'Suval, they participated. Oh, b'Churban HaBayis HaRishon, or b'Sheni, or maybe also here, finally, in the parenthesis, he says, maybe we're referring to the event which took place during the time of the Churban HaBayis HaSheni with the Romans. Maybe they were mercenaries, since we're here during the time of Mashiach, we're referring to a much later period of time. We have a long history when these nations will suffer their defeat. As we said before, the Mincha Gedolah says we're referring past the Bayis, and we're referring over here to the last 2,000 years, or even the last 1,000 years during the Crusades and all of the pogroms, all of these things, that's what this can be referring to as well. Chav Zayin, v'lo yishkevu. Now here we get to, in some, here we have to go slow, because here it gets very interesting to explain this pasuk. Chalalei ha'umoy soheim, those people who are killed in war, lo yishkevu ba'kever im ha'giborim me'arle ha'levav ha'noiflim b'misas atzmam. They're not going to get the dignity of having a military funeral like the other wicked people that preceded them who died a natural death. Asher Yodul Ashol, who are the other wicked people who died a natural death, when they went into the grave with honors. In Kli Milcham Tom, they went into the grave with their weapons. Ritzoyno Loimar, Shekavu Oysam in Kli Milcham Tom. The Amakabrim, those who did the burial, the Chever Kadisha, not Kochadisha, the Chever, the ones who buried these people, the funeral director, Nosnu Eschar Boisam Tachas Roshehem. They put a sword under the head of the dead, of the soldier, L'chovoid Ulus Seferes, as an act of honor. This was a son, this was an honor that was done to indicate that they were warriors. Umeis misas atzmei v'lo nerak. Or it's son Eloimar. So now let's go back to the pasuk. What does pasuk mean? Hachalol mohem lo yishkevu imohem. They will not merit a dignified funeral with weapons. They're not going to get this great honor. The next words in the Sudos, they're even worse than those that were killed by the sword. The fact that when they look at the body and you see the body has been punctured by a sword, that itself tells the person who looks at this body, I guess if there's a wake and people come look at the body, they pull up the clothing to examine the body, and they see that this body has been punctured by a sword. Oh, must be this person. They were killed by sword.
The ones who died a natural death.
So they didn't get yet what they deserve. So there it's still upon their essence, upon their person. Sins are what causes the bones to be broken. What are the sins? So now let's go back to the pasuk. Now we have a lot going on. Let's explain the pasuk. Let us read the pasuk of Zion one more time. The lo yishkevu, these people who are going to die in Baal, Melchem Eskel Gemagog, they have a chesaroin and a maila relative to the people who the nation who died a natural death. What's the maila and the chesaron? First is the chesaron. They're not going to have honor. The lo yishkevu es gibayim, they're not going to lie down together with the gibayim. Noiflim lo yishkevu es gibayim. Noiflim mei areilim, they're not going to lie together with the giborim who have fallen, who are also wicked. Their predecessors are also wicked, and they are giborim because they died a natural death. Those people, asher, concerning those people who preceded them, who died a natural death, yardu sha'ol, they went down into the grave with honor, bichlei milchamtam, with their weapons underneath their head. What was the weapons? Where were the weapons? They were put underneath their head as a sign of honor. But those people who died a natural death, they have something even worse than these people who died. Their sins are still connected to their bones. They have not yet received their punishment because they did not suffer in this world, and that punishment is going to first come to them in the next world. Whereas these people who died in the Mulchemes Goygu Mogoyg, they're not having the milah of having a military funeral with honor and having their swords and medals buried with them, but at least the fact that they have been disgraced and they're buried in a mass grave, at least to some degree atones for some of their sins. Why are all of them going to suffer no matter what? It's because of the same theme we mentioned so many times. Ki chitis gibarim beretz chayim, the chitis of the gibarim, the terror of these mighty people has been cast in the land of the living, the pain they caused the Jewish people. Okay, so we learn over here, very interesting how they were buried in ancient times, and we learn over here this idea that those people who are not buried with dignity, at least they have something good going for them, they have received a degree of atonement, and they don't have to suffer all that much in the next world. Let's see Rashi. Rashi going back on these two pesukim, starting with pasuk chav vav. Mechulei means kmo haruge. It's a synonym for being killed. Pasuk chav zayin v'lo yishkevu. Eile haniskadim im giborim shemesu misas atzmam. These people who are being killed, neshach esuvol, who are dying in the battle of Melchemes Goygu Magog, they're not going to be buried together with the people who died a natural death. Ki noiflim ugiruim yihiyu me'areilim. So he has a new interpretation. They are worse. He is translating that they are worse. They are giruim yihiyu me'areilim. They are worse in this respect than the people who died a natural death, in that they're not going to have honor. They've gone down to the grave with it, into the with the clay milchamtam shaol into the grave. Now, okay, let's learn similar like the Mitzudos. Vayidnu koivreyem es charboisam tachas roshayem l'simin lohodia ki l'sholto bohem cheref. They're worse than those other people because those are the people at least died with dignity. What was the dignity? That the people who buried them, the undertaker, they at least they put a sword underneath their head in order to indicate that they did not die they were not killed in war, they died a natural death. Rabbi Rakef, he always says that he knows that many Rabbanim, they left the Rabbanus and they went into the funeral business, became an undertaker. I said, why? He says, because they had enough of listening to the Balabatim talk back to them.
No complaints.
It's a natural process from becoming a rav to an undertaker. These people who have been buried with honor are in a lot of trouble in the next world because they did not receive atonement. The sword did not atone for them. They were not killed. What was the sin that they have committed? The sin is that they have instilled fear in the land of the living. Okay, let's see our adak. Pasik chav vav and chav zayin. Chavav shameshach mechul lecherev meinin meinich nechal lecherev v'chu po'ol mibin hadogash. Let's skip this. Pasik chav zayin v'lo yishkevu es gibonim nofle me'arelim. Amar ki imchal lecherev yishkevu. It says here that meshach and su, they're going to lie in the grave with all those people who have been killed. The loy im hagiborim shenoflu. They're not going to be put in the cemetery with the giborim, with the generals who have died a natural death, that were not killed in war. Kolaymar shemesu misas atzmam natural. Shaloy noflu b'chenef. Uperish oyn v'amar me'arelim asher yardu shol b'chlei milchamtam. What does these words mean? What's lemar me'oysam arelim? These people were worse. They saw worse than those wicked people who died. Sheyardu l'shaol b'chlei milchamtam. Kolaymar sha'ad moysam ochazu b'chlei milchamtam b'chilu nosnu charboisam tachas v'sheyem b'shachon b'kever. Kolaymar sha'rakever gavro yodam b'muchama. Until they died, they still held a sword in their hand. In other words, the same exact thing we said before is that they did not, they were not killed. They always fought until the very, very end. And as a sign of showing that they did not die by someone else's hands, they were buried with their sword underneath their head. So, Hemhan Niskarim, but those people that were mentioned over here in this Pasuk, Meshach HaSuvel, in the time of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they're not going to receive this honor because they're not deserving of this honor. They were killed. They did not survive. Lo yishkavu im oisam hagibarim, elo im oisam shehim chalechev, they will lie in the grave with those that were killed. Vati avoinosam alatz moisam, hachatas avoinosam, v'ansham hoitza alatz moisam, klemar, shedoklu oisam bachere v'shibru atz moisam. So notice the Radak here is learning not like the Mitzudos. He learns over here that it's only chesroinos. There's no milus here. He's not learning over here kapara. He's saying over here is that the people that have been killed by Meshach and Tuval, when you look at their bones, you see that they were killed. You see they were weak. They were weak. The fact that we don't look at, like, you say, we don't look at today in America, today, Adrab, if you're killed, you're a hero, right? You're a hero. So
I don't know if that's what they're talking about.
Vati chatas avoy noisam v'onsham hoisa alatz moisam was upon their bones kuloimar shedoku oisam bacherev the milchama they were stabbed by the sword in war the shibru atz moisayhem and their bones were broken. So we're not talking people died a natural death. The people
the way I read it, they're talking about the people died a natural death and they went and they broke their bones.
What did they broke their bones?
The guys who buried them.
No. Shadaku or some bacherev, it says.
But who's Daku?
The enemy. There is a war going on. They were killed.
Say,
that's what it means. Because of the chalei cherev. We're referring over here to the people that killed in war. I think it's Pashat. Shadaku oisam. You don't kill a person who dies a natural death. It's not.
They want to disgrace them.
Why would they be disgraced? They're not disgraced.
Why didn't you die for the cause?
They're not disgraced. They're being buried with their sword under their head. They're not being disgraced.
Yeah.
We're describing over here, he seems to be learning that everything here in this pasuk is a reference to the people that died in Melchemes Gog Magog. They did not have a dignified funeral. Not only that, if some will dig up their bones and look at them, they'll see that the way they died, they'll do an autopsy, they'll see they were killed by the sword, which means they were failures. They were failures in war. Not the type of thought process we look at today. We look at a person who dies in war as a hero, right? It seems it's not what it says in the Radak. In times of war, if you die, you were killed. It means you're not a hero. It means you are not strong enough to survive. You're a failure. Doesn't that make sense?
That's
exactly what Trump once said. That.
That's
a very so. You say that, and that's not politically correct to the nth degree to say something like that, because in this generation, it's not the way we look at it.
That's not our culture.
But that is obviously a very logical approach to dealing with. If you're such a gibor, why'd you die? Why did he die? So that's really what it...
One man against 20, and he kills 18 or 19, and the last one kills him, he's not a hero?
No, he's not. Because he should have been smart enough to kill. He should not have taken on 20 people to go to battle again. The war today is not the war of ancient times. War in ancient times was done in a much more dignified way. It was done out in the open. It was
face to face,
and you make a time. You have an appointment. Let's make an appointment to go to war in this place, in this time. There's no shock and awe. You don't come surreptitiously attack the enemy with satellites and drones. This is coward to be a drone. You can't even send. You have to send in a robot to kill a person. What kind of dignity? What kind of war is that? They would do it if they would know the way we fight war today in ancient times. They would laugh at us. This is how you go kill people with satellites and lasers and drones. A guy is sitting in Arizona in a bunker on a joystick, and he's controlling a drone, and he's getting permission from 10 layers up, high command. They have to go and consult with the POTUS before he can press the button.
Not anymore.
And the POTUS says, okay, you can press the button. So the guy there in Arizona in a bunker, 20-year-old guy, pressed the button. And Syria, boom, a drone goes, laser guided drone goes and takes out.
In those days, there was more glory in dying.
Oh, exactly.
And the idea is to avoid that.
Exactly. It's a different world. A totally different world. So you talk about a person, so the same way we don't understand this, it's a different world. So talk about a person that was killed in war is not a gibor. He's not a gibor. The person who dies a natural death, he was the gibor. So that's what it says over here, according to the parish of the Mitzudos. All right, we're going to stop over here with Pasuk Chav Ches. We'll pick it up with Hashem tomorrow. All right, I have two handouts.